Hey, everybody. Welcome to Hammer Down on the Market Scale Network. I'm your host, Mike Bush. And today, I have such a cool guest. His name is Sean Jones. He's the founder and CEO of a company named QuickLoads. Sean, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited about this.
Sean, I usually hype the hell out of everybody that comes on the show. And I have a fear with your company that I'm so geeked out about it that I'm going to overrepresent it or miss important points. Why don't you start? Tell me a little bit about QuickLoads.
All right. So QuickLoads, it's an invention of mine, and it came out of our construction company because we were moving sea shipping containers all the time for construction. You know, you see them on every job site. Every job site has sea shipping containers. We built it just for ourselves, but then we started a mobile storage business, and then along came a local investor group, and they said, well, what are you doing? I explained it to them. They asked to do a presentation. We said, no, the market's too small. It's not worth it. And then they asked if we ever moved anything loaded sea shipping containers. And yeah, we do that all the time. Like, well, then your market isn't mobile storage. Your market's shipping. Your market's moving companies. And it was something that just had occurred to me. But they did a market study, and the market was enormous. It was one of the strongest responses they'd ever had. So we decided, well, okay, we'll take this thing we made for ourselves and turn it into a product. So what our product is we build truck beds and trailers that can automatically move loaded sea shipping containers. So the idea is that the driver never has to leave their seat in the cab of the truck. They can run the whole thing from a smartphone. They just back up the container, pull out their phone, push a couple buttons. 3 minutes, they've loaded a fully loaded sea shipping container, and away they go. And the whole system is so automated that I was standing at a FreightWaves event in a stage in Bentonville, Arkansas, and we were able to load a sea shipping container 800 miles away over the internet. So that was pretty neat.
You're underselling yourself there, man. Take credit. That demo won best in show at the FreightWaves event there. You literally said, hey, everybody, I'm going to load a chassis or load a container onto a chassis 800 miles away, and you're going to watch in real time. And then you did the craziest thing in the world. You did a live onstage demo that worked flawlessly. So credit where it's due. And then, of course, you won Best in Show for that demo.
Yeah. And there was some luck there. There were no internet glitches. And our engineers were madly in making sure that it worked beforehand. And sure enough. And then I discovered that when I first started doing it in a demo one, that I couldn't concentrate talking and push the buttons at the same time. So that meant that our engineers had to create an auto load sequence, which we'd been messing around with, but we never actually had done. And so I was able to just push the button and it did the rest. And it's like, oh, that's great. So I was able to talk during the whole time, and it worked out really well. I was pretty impressed with what the guys pulled off in the short period of time.
So when you started this and talked to investors, this was, if I'm not mistaken, this was slightly before or right around the time that the pandemic was raging. You had, 108 vessels off the coast of LA Long Beach. And for folks that don't know the drayage community, don't know the ins and outs of moving metal, these containers through the ports, what happens is obviously you stack containers on top of each other so they can't be on wheels, right? Mm-hmm. They'd roll off of each other. So we rely on something called the chassis, which is basically just a big old piece of metal with wheels on it. We then take a container off a boat, off the vessel, put it on this piece of metal with wheels, connect it to a truck. The truck goes where it's going. When the pandemic hit, one of the challenges we saw was a giant shortage of chassis because warehouses weren't available to accept containers and goods in containers weren't able to unload quickly. So every container that was moved from a port basically became a warehouse on wheels, those wheels being chassis. So all of a sudden you've had lots of containers in the port, but no wheels to put these big boxes on. You launched, and what was fascinating to me is now all of a sudden you're killing this massive issue. Right. Tell me a little bit about this idea.
Yeah, I mean, it makes it so that you don't need cranes to or giant forklift to move sea shipping containers. I mean, 90% of the world's freight is in these things. And you can use the shipping container then as a mobile 1/10 cost warehouse. So a distribution center could literally be containers sitting on the ground in a parking lot. You can move things from place to place on them. When you make it so that you can just pick up and put down the sea shipping container anywhere you want, it just opens up so many things. Now, in the U.S., we got bottlenecked, but in other countries, especially in developing countries, it was way worse because they didn't have even that infrastructure really in place. And so it changes a lot about how things can go. And there's all these ideas about it, which we hadn't even thought of. Like we had farmers who started buying them because the idea is they could put sea shipping containers beside the field. And instead of having grain wagons and then transporting it to a silo and then transporting it, you know, transhandling it five times, they were able to fill their sea shipping containers, which are incredibly cheap, like $3,000, right field side and go straight to the port. And there's a lot of neat little things in there that it never even occurred to us. There's a whole market that of recyclers that never occurred to us. And we start thinking about it, especially for tire recyclers and carpet recyclers, it's perfect. They don't want to tie up a loading dock, putting tires in it. And they don't want to have their guys heaving tires 4 feet in the ground above the ground to put them in the trailer. You can't leave tires outside because they're a hazard for mosquitoes and such. But you drop a container on the ground, just roll the tires in, close the door, and with quick loads, just pick it up and you go. And there was just a lot of that, these markets that we had never even really thought of. And it seems like it's, unfortunately, about the time COVID came around, we were just starting to move into a new facility. We were just starting to get production underway. And we were always so far behind. We ended up, you know, ending up like years behind the backlog. So
Sean, you actually, so you've touched on a couple of things here, and I want to hit on all of them because there's a lot of coolness that's just kind of able to be brought out in the story you told. One of the things I thought was really interesting about you guys is that as you started, you know, obviously this is a self-loading chassis, it's a self-loading device, that there needs to be a power source. Mm-hmm. And as I recall, you were using kind of a, whether it was an ice, a combustion engine, I don't remember if it was diesel or gas, but you've since moved away from that.
Yeah, we power it with a 38 horsepower electronic fuel injected engine. And I always wanted to get away from it because one, fleet managers despise pony engines on trailers. You know, who's putting gas in it, who's checking the oil. And I didn't like it just because like, well, it's, you know, it's loud and uses fuel and that sort of thing. And so we've been for years on trying to come up with a good electrical alternative, but it took a long time really for, partly it was just the technology had to catch up. And then partly we had to mess around and found somebody who could make a motor just for us. And all these pieces had to come together. And we messed around with it for quite a bit, but we started off a few of them. Instantly, 90% of them went all electric. And we put these solar cells on the actual trailer. So you never have to plug it in. It becomes almost maintenance zero. And it was amazing how quickly it got adopted. But that led us off into re-examining. Way back when QuickLoads started, we had this idea for electric axle. We thought, well, we could power it by putting a generator on the axle. Well, if you're going to power something by putting a generator on the axle, another way you could do that, if you're not only generating power, but then you could have the axle help push. And so we had this idea that, yeah, you know, you could, this trailer could help push and pull and create some fuel economy and such. But we dropped it because a company called Hylion was way ahead of us on that. And it's also a very complicated problem to do. But when we did this all-electric power pack, the idea came back around, and we started looking around to see if anybody was doing that. And out of the blue, a company called Horizon Motor had an e-axle. They owned the entire production line. They're selling them in Asia, and they really wanted to bring the tech to the U.S. And just they found us, and it was like, that's exactly what we were looking for. And so now we're part of bringing these e-axles to North America. And I really like the idea, because the idea is that on the trailer, and we're doing container chassis specifically, you put this battery on there. And so then if it's being pulled by a diesel truck, this trailer can help push. That means you've instantly turned this combination vehicle into a plug-in electric hybrid. You know, and if you've gone far enough that the batteries eventually on the trailer die, it doesn't matter, then you're still running off of your diesel truck that's pulling it. But it creates a 40% fuel savings. And, it also helps if you're especially in winter and snow and such that, you know, this thing can help push along the load. We're doing container chassis specifically because Right now, what happens is, and there's hundreds of thousands of these refrigerated containers that come and go out of the ports every day. But if you want to move one, usually that refrigerated container has to have a diesel generator strapped to the bottom of the chassis in order to keep the refrigerator working, to keep it cold. So it's a perfect fit when you're already carrying around a big battery pack that you could just go ahead, put an inverter on there, and then you could plug this electric, this refrigerated container directly into it. And so we're going to start with chassis and specifically focus on those because it's right up our alley. Containers full of food wherever you wanted to, not have to run a diesel generator, and also give yourself a 40% savings in fuel. It's just all those pieces are really nice to see to come together.
And one of my favorite things that you've talked about here, and I you know, it's as kind of following your entrepreneurial journey, one of my favorite things about you and about the company has been you're finding use cases that you hadn't thought of, right? Like you mentioned farmers being able to say, okay, I'm going to drop a container in the middle of my field. I can just load that up and then I don't have to go through the rigmarole of getting that out. I actually, one of my favorite components about the quick load setup is when you look at like a battery electric truck or a hydrogen truck. And of course here in California, there's legislation to really move forward with zero emission vehicles. A big challenge with those vehicles is range. Right. You know, you're going to get 200 to 250 miles on a full charge for a battery electric truck, as opposed to 600 for a diesel truck. I made a reference that to the way you guys operate. Essentially, like if I'm giving my son who's 8 a piggyback ride, I'm doing all the work, which is exactly how the trucking industry has always worked. You're basically saying, hey, what if we put a jetpack on that kid? And then he pushes while I'm walking. It's going to make things easier for everybody. So to your point of the plug-in hybrid, that's super interesting. But also the fact that you're empowering some of the zero emission initiatives to be easier and fit more into a typical duty cycle. And that's so cool to me.
Yeah. And like if you take something like the EK, as you mentioned, it has a fairly limited range. But then if you hook it to one of our e-axle trailers, you've doubled that range. You're suddenly up to well over 500 miles, and it, you know, it makes the electric Class 8 trucks much more useful in that way. And you know, not only are you getting the benefit from the diesel truck, but then you're getting this.
So, Sean, beyond the chassis component of this, and we've talked about, you know, the fact that this the e-axle is really kind of a modular component. Are there other use cases for the e-axle that you see kind of transforming the industry?
Yeah. So if you think about if I put an e-axle on this trailer I'm pulling and it helps push, and so suddenly I've become a plug-in electric hybrid, why not, given the millions of existing diesel trucks out there, why not just remove the rear drive axle, put in one of our e-axles and a battery pack in our system, and you've taken an existing diesel truck and turned it into a plug-in electric hybrid. You could run it on all electric, and then if your electric use your existing drivetrain. And so it seems like a system that like literally in a day, you could swap these trucks over just, and you don't have to go through EPA all over again because you haven't messed with the original drivetrain. All you've done is remove the rear axle and put in our system. And so I think that it could be very, very effective. I'm really excited. You know, we have all these other pieces we're trying to get going. So realistically, I shouldn't start messing around with that till 2025. But I think that this could be a nice solution for a lot of fleet owners.
Absolutely. Now, in terms of the battery pack, what is the weight on that particular unit?
We're offering it in three flavors. The fully dressed, everything on it, you're looking at about a plus 6,000 pounds of battery. So it's reasonably heavy. So it's going to take down your load some.
Yep. Now that makes sense. And I mean, one of the things that we've seen is, you know, with the zero emission trucks, the battery electric truck can be as much as 11,000 pounds more. So if you're kind of splitting the difference, you know, there's opportunity to work within there. I know with Talon, we've had to look at saying, okay, you know, there's an 11,000 pound weight gain. Basically our truck got fatter by switching to a BEV, you know, where can we cut weight? And we've found lighter chassis, which falls of course into your wheelhouse, sir, you know, in order to offset some of that. One thing I think is really interesting about quick loads is, and this is how I find, in full disclosure, everybody, I am absolutely an investor here. I was so excited to see you not only launch this company, but to crowdsource or to crowdfund the company, which was pretty unique in the industry.
Yeah, we were mostly self-funded for a long time, and we got a couple of debt loans, but we did the crowdsourcing because it raises money, but two, it really does. It's a great way to get just an enormous crowd of people who are your advocates and let people know you exist. And I think that was one of the big hurdles you have, especially something new like this, is people don't know you exist. I mean, they don't know. There's a great thing about the crowdsourcing was just plain old letting people know you exist. And then you have all these great advocates and to help people know.
Sean, one question I try to ask everybody that joins the show is, if you're talking to somebody who's maybe a new or recent grad, they're thinking about supply chain as an industry, what's the piece of advice you would give them?
Things don't have to stay the same. You can look at it and you can see where things fall apart, and they don't have to stay the same. I think there's a tremendous amount of work being done on the software side of logistics. And there's a lot being done there. But it doesn't seem like people are working as hard on the hardware side. I think that's part of that's due to where the money comes from. I mean, venture capital prefers software. But there's a million little things out there in hardware and how things move. You know, this idea of mine was never designed around logistics. It came out of just solving a need for ourselves. And then once somebody else looked at what we were doing with fresh eyes, they realized that this is could be really helpful logistics.
Sean, thank you so much for joining the show. He's Sean Jones, everybody, CEO of QuickLoads and also involved with Horizon Motors. Sean, if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to find you?
sjones@quickloads.com.
All right. Appreciate you, man. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Mike Bush. Thanks for enjoying the show.